died so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. Mm, it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny
it's
day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us, Maria Chaleos, along with Tom Bettis. And today we are with Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse. And if you check out our web camera this morning, you can see the beautiful greenhouse in the background. So you want to make sure and do that as well. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Good morning, Brian. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Good morning. It's such a beautiful day. How could I not be good?
I know, right? And it's wonderful to see the beautiful flowers behind you there in the greenhouse. So, Brian, we wanted to start out this segment, and I know you have talked with Ton about this before, but just really talking about your favorites for the season. I know that our greenhouse listeners are very anxious to hear what fun things are going to be out there and what your favorites are.
You know, I'm super excited about this season. There's a petunia that's been out for a few years, but there's a new color that I absolutely love. It's called Amore petunia, and I'll show that a little bit later this morning on that webcam if you want to log into the app and see that. But that Amore petunia, it's a star pattern, but if you look at it, it's kind of an optical illusion. It actually has a heart shape in every petal of the petunia. And that's something that's really unique, and it's been bred to do that, and it repeats it over and over. So it's a pink and white petunia, but that heart shape makes it super special. So
okay, I've never
really
seen anything like that, Ton. Have you seen anything like that before?
No, and Brian described it the other day when we did our short podcast recording. I was fascinated, and I've been amazed at the amount of breeding lately in petunias, but this was one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, we found it. It's actually bred by Danziger Flower Farm, which is a breeder out of Israel. And my wife and I got to go to Israel and see where the actual breeding takes place. Just last October, we were out there, and it was a fabulous trip. We found all sorts of new colors of different flowers coming down the pipeline, but I was super excited about this one. And on the spot, we put together a whole program that we're going to kick off next week for Mother's Day. We'll have these in just a few select stores for Mother's Day. So think about that. You can give your mom a flower that has a heart built into it, and we're calling it Love That Grows. So it's better than cut flowers that fade away after a week or so. This will live all summer long in spring and just bloom its head off for mom. And what a better way to show, there's no better way to show her your love.
Okay, you've got to tell us now, though, Brian, where are those going to be available? Because I know that's going to be the first question here out the gate.
So we only did 1,000 plants, and so we're only going to send it to a few select Home Depots. So watch for that petunia at your local Home Depot. It should be there, if not next weekend, the week after, right before Mother's Day coming up.
All right, now tell us about some more of your favorites.
So I love this time of year, creeping phlox. I actually woke up this morning, my creeping phlox, different colors start to bloom on, at different timings, but they've been starting to bloom over the last couple of weeks. But this morning, one of my favorite colors, it's like a soft lilac color, just opens its blooms up in my rock wall. I love it because of how bright and intense the colors are. Even though they don't last very long, the show they put on is amazing.
I'm seeing some phlox in my yard as well. Okay. And then your third favorite?
I can't remember what we chose, Ton. Do you remember? Do you have my list out in front of you? I don't have it right close. We might have to come back to it, Maria, if that's okay.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be your third. Tell us about some of your other favorites.
Well, I love all sorts of different flowers. There's one annual, the petunia, another, and then a perennial, the creeping phlox. I would have to say my third favorite is probably impatiens because, we're in an arid climate here in Utah, but impatiens are a full-color annual for shade, And there's not a lot of options that give us bright, intense color in the shade. And so I love impatiens also because they come in several different varieties. There's single impatiens, New Guinea impatiens, double impatiens. Every year on my front porch that faces north, never sees sunlight, I put double impatiens in a container mixed with some other things. And it gives me such an intense color that I love that. And a lot of us need options for shade. There's nothing better than impatiens every spring.
Yeah, I have to ask this of both you and Ton, Brian. I'm wondering if, as gardeners, we have become much more picky, that we have seen so many wonderful things for yards and gardens that we really want something new every year.
Yeah, you know, and the breeders come up with new every year. So it's so fascinating when you really get into the world of plant breeding. But they work on different colors, but they also work on different habits. Flower times, and just all different aspects, disease resistance, all aspects of annuals and perennials are being worked on. And most of us don't know that. We think, you know, we had a flower that grandma liked 30 years ago, like a sugar daddy petunia, but they've done things to flowers year after year after year to make sure that they keep all the good attributes, but get rid of the bad attributes and make the color last longer, make the habit perform better. And so if you have an older perennial, like I say, one thing is Candy Tuft. That was another one of my favorites, Iberis Candy Tuft. It's another early spring bloomer. If you have a Candy Tuft that's even 5 years old right now, there's been several new varieties bred in just the last couple of years that make that bloom last a lot longer, and it's a much bigger bloom, so it puts on a better show in your yard.
You know, Brian, I have to echo that because, you know, we talked also, I think the fifth one on that list was perennial hibiscus. And if you planted one 30 or 40 years ago, you had to count on staking it. It would bloom for 3 or 4 weeks. And then you had this behemoth plant to take care of all summer. But just over the last 10 years or so, there's been such an incredible amount of breeding on these to make them more compact, make them bloom for a couple of months at least, the flower colors, the foliage textures and color, that a lot of times the old-fashioned stuff is fun, and that's what grandma grew, but there have been such improvements made on the amount of flowers, longevity, compact growing forms for smaller yards, that it's worth sometimes even paying that extra $5 or $6 for the newest stuff, just so that you can get the best perennials for your yard, and the investment's worth it.
And the most fascinating part of my job, Maria and Ton, is I get to travel the world and see these breeding companies and suppliers, see what they're working on a few years in advance. You know, they won't introduce something the year they come up with it. Usually it's 3 to 4 or 5 years even out before it gets introduced to the market. And what they're doing is making sure, first of all, that it's stable when it's a new color, that it doesn't revert back to its parent. Second of all, they make sure that they can grow enough supply to feed the market demand. And then third, we take those plants a few years out, we start trialing them in gardens. We have a big test garden here at the greenhouses in Utah, as well as people's yards and whatnot. We try those plants to make sure they perform well in our climate for our customers as well.
Okay, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit jealous. I would love to travel the world and see all these wonderful new plants. So kudos to you on that. And this morning we have with us on the line Brian Lloyd. He's from Olson's Greenhouse. Olson's Greenhouse sponsoring the show this morning. So make sure you take advantage of the expertise that we have of Brian. And Ton is here. I'm here. Give us a call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. This morning, we have Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse joining us as well. We have a bunch of text questions already, Ton, so let's kind of jump right into these. The first one is there a selective herbicide for tall fescue in lawns, and would lawn care companies have it?
No, how's that? There's a few out there that are sort of registered, but they are so, I don't know how to put it, but they're ones that I would never use in my own yard because they're active against other trees and shrubs sometimes that make it a little bit risky to use them. And so I think that glyphosate, like a Roundup or a Kills-All type product to just kill those patches out and resod or reseed is the best way to go.
Okay, next texter asking, they want you to please talk about river birch trees and water birch trees, and would one of those be suitable for the Cache Valley?
Well, river birch is a very available species of birch that has salmon red bark that eventually, as the tree ages, fades to kind of a salmony white color. And the river birch, which is Betula nigra, gets up to around 40 to 45 feet high and wide. It's okay for Utah. It is resistant to bronze birch borer, which gets into a lot of the white-barked birches, but it is not very good for alkaline soil, and so you need to have it. It does a little better in the bench areas than down closer to the lakes or the bottoms of the valley. Mm-hmm. The water birch, western water birch, which is Betula occidentalis, looks almost identical to the river birch, except for it gets about half the size. And it tolerates alkaline soil a lot better. And so given the option of western water birch or river birch, I'm always going to choose western water birch because it just makes a better tree. And it's more adapted to our soils. Now, the problem with western water birch is that it's not readily available, and so you're probably going to have to do some shopping to find it.
All right. Let's take a call from Seth and Roy. Good morning, Seth. Good morning, Seth. What is your question?
I have a question about apple trees. I have two apple trees, 30 years old or more.
You can turn it up.
One's a large red delicious, which is very, very strong tree, heavy producer, light years and heavy years. It's been pruned regularly. This spring or winter, I pruned it more heavily than normal. I took out a number of medium-sized branches, 3-inch branches, to open it up some more. And now I'm not seeing a single blossom on that tree, whereas the other tree has a lot. Could I have caused some problem, some shock to that tree?
Well, on the tree with no blossoms, did it have a very heavy crop last year?
It was kind of a moderate crop last year. It wasn't heavy and it wasn't really light.
Okay, because the apple trees oftentimes develop what's called biennial bearing. And so one year you'll get a crop and the next year you don't. And the way around that is thinning the apple. So you have one apple for every 6 inches to 12 inches of branch. And I more suspect that you have something like biennial bearing that developed than this pruning this year causing problems, because you wouldn't have caused it to not open the blossoms up. It was that the blossoms weren't there. And so heavy pruning can, for lack of a better term, temporarily mess a tree up so that it doesn't produce blossoms for a few years, but it's usually the next year that it happens and not the current year.
Okay. Well, I've had biennial production occasionally very heavy years and occasionally pretty light, but not never had a year where I haven't seen a blossom.
Yeah, I mean, the only other reason I can think of that you would have zero blossoms is that... Oh, heavy frost damage, but you would see that, and then also you pruned every last bit of fruit-bearing wood off, which is almost impossible to do.
No, that wasn't the problem. Yeah, the other tree is right next to it. It's a Jonathan, and it has a lot of blossoms on it.
So, yeah, I more would suspect maybe a really bad case of biennial bearing. Next year, I'm hoping you get a really good crop, and if you do, just make sure those apples are thinned. And I might even go a little bit heavier when that fruit is about dime-sized and just thin them back to one fruit for every foot of branch.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Seth, thanks for your call this morning. Let's take a call from Deanne in Salt Lake. Good morning, Deanne. Deanne, what is your question?
Yes, I have a question about tulips. I'm wondering, I've had a couple of patches of tulips that I planted a few years ago that have either died out or they've just leafed and not bloomed. They seem kind of stunted. So I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong or what the problem is.
Well, on the ones that look a little stunted, how long have they been in the ground?
Probably a year.
They okay, so they're not spring. Overly... How thickly did you plant them?
About 6 inches apart.
Okay, so they're not overcrowded yet.
No.
You sometimes can get a viral disease or a fungal disease in them that will stunt them. And in general... Tulips don't last longer than 3 or 4 years and have any vigor. There are a few, the Darwin series and the Species series. And for some reason, red flowered kinds seem to last longer, but the other colors in the other series are generally about a 3, maybe 4 year plant, and then they need to be replanted.
Oh. Is that what they do at Temple Square and Thanksgiving Point?
They take every bulb out, and they will Thanksgiving Point sells them, but they plant brand new bulbs every year.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yes.
Is there anything I can do to bring these tulips back that are fairly new?
You know, if you fertilize them and they don't develop larger leaves, there's probably not much you're going to be able to do if you don't get a response to fertilizer. And
okay.
It would be something that I may not put tulips in there for a couple of years to just give the soil a rest and get some new tulip bulbs in late summer and plant them in new areas.
All right, Dan, thank you so much for your call this morning. We have Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse also joining us. And boy, talk about gorgeous flowers. What have you got behind you there growing in the greenhouse this morning?
You know, there's all sorts of bright color. We picked one of the prettier spots. This one has verbenas that are, you can see right in the foreground. So some hot pinks and some light pinks and bicolor verbena, which is pink and white mixed into one bloom. And then in the background, we've got just the old standby pink geraniums.
You are the one that grows flowers for, say, Home Depot. How many people do you provide flowers for?
How many customers?
How many companies? How many customers?
We sell through Walmart and Home Depot and Costco this time of year. Other times of the year, we also ship to Sam's Club as well. But you can find our flowers at all those garden centers, at those retail stores. And we sell to over 400 stores throughout the West, Maria. So we're in 11 different states selling flowers clear from the Mexican border up to the Canadian border, El Paso up to Havre, Montana.
I'm looking at thousands of beautiful flowers right now. How many plants do you grow each year?
You know, it's in the tens of millions of plants. We have a couple different facilities, actually a few facilities, three here in Utah. I'm at our corporate headquarters right here in Salem, Utah. So everything we grow here is acclimated, but we also grow in Colorado and Boise as well. So everything we grow is in high light, acclimated for our climate, ready to go right into the yard and bloom and be healthy.
And that's why they do better, right?
Exactly, yeah. There's nothing, you know, when you grow a plant in California or on the coast, it grows a really good plant. I'm always envious of what they can do out there. But then they get here, and it's different light conditions, different temperature swings, and it nothing beats a locally grown plant, and that's what Olson's Greenhouse supplies, is locally grown plants to all Utah gardeners.
All right, we're going to take a break for our bottom of the hour news. I hope our listeners will go to KSLNewsRadio.com and check out the webcam and see the beautiful flowers at Olson's Greenhouse. Let's take a break. The number to call with your questions, 575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.